The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Thank you, John. Church family, let me invite you to take your Bibles now. Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, Psalm 119, verse 105. As I've made mention already, that today is a part of our week of prayer and the Word. And last week we looked at the Word component. Last week we talked about the prayer component. Today we're going to talk about the Word portion. But as we begin, I just want to point out to you an answer to prayer as we get started. Many of you have seen him. George Denton is sitting in the back there. This is the first time he's got to be with us since October after he had heart surgery. So we praise the Lord for answering prayers, for helping him feel better to be here. Amen. And of course, his sidekick who's been patient with him through this 3 months, we should probably praise the Lord that she's still living as well, right? She gave a hearty amen. I heard her over everybody. It is great to see both of you back this morning. That is definitely one of the things we can testify to in 2018. God answered many prayers for our church family in 2017, so we're just grateful for that. Today, as we look at Psalm 119, as we want to consider for each of us this morning how important the Word of God is for our lives. And so I want to ask each of you this moment, right now, I want you to think about your own life back in 2017 in regards to your commitment to the Word of God. How would you rate your commitment to God's Word in 2017? I know we may have begun with the great intentions, but how did you really do? I mean, have you had time that was really where it needed to be? Or was it just once a week? Or was it twice a week? Was it 3 weeks? Or was it just every day? I want you to be honest with yourself and not try to rank yourself so high. But here's my intentions for all of us today is I want us to be challenged by God's Word, that so that each of us who are believers in the Lord will renew a commitment to be in the Word, or for some of you, maybe a new commitment to actually be in the Word each day to spend time before God. Listen, what I want you to hear is this. Committing to the Word of God is not something that has to be a chore, because as a part of our mission statement is we exist to delight in God. I want you to see the commitment to be in the Word of God as a means, as an opportunity to sit and to enjoy God. I want to challenge you today as you really think through what do you need to do. And as I've said, even with a prayer life, and I will say to you at the end as we will talk about, I want you to move beyond simply the idea and the commitment in your mind. At the end, I want to challenge us to really think through practically what is it that you need to do to get to the point where you actually can be in the Word with God. Psalm 119 as a psalm in itself, every bit of it is about the Word of God. It's actually written with the Hebrew alphabet. Some of you may have noticed over every paragraph is a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. We can't see it in English, but actually in Hebrew, every word of all those verses actually begin with that particular letter. It's very poetic in its original writing. We can't necessarily see it that way in English, but it's a beautiful thing done in the Hebrew language. What I want us to see, obviously just picking one verse, if you think about the whole chapter being about the Word of God, this particular verse, one seems to stick out to many of us. Maybe you probably have memorized this particular verse in Psalm 105. And I want to show us today how God's Word can be a lamp and it can be a light for all of us in the path of our walking with God. How many of you in your own walk with God have at times veered off the right path? Probably each of us in this room at some point have not stayed on the straight and narrow, if you use that term. We've gotten on the wrong path, and sometimes we get there, and then we ask ourselves the question, how did I get here? And then you look back, and then when we start to spend time with God's words, it becomes very clear how we got there. I really want to challenge us today to realize that God's Word is very beneficial for each of us, not just for adults, but for everyone, for adults, for children, for youth, for senior adults. And listen, if you have the mentality that if you've ever said, well, I've read the Bible a couple of times, I'm good, then you're not in the right mentality. Because we need the Word every day in our lives. We need it to be able to feed us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to shape us, to mold us, to be able to give us insight into who God is and our understanding of our relationship, how we need to live. So let's see what the Word has to say for us today. Psalm 119, verse 105 through verse 112 is what we will read to begin with this morning. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. The author here is reusing words and using different words to speak about the Word of God. He calls it the Word of God. He calls it the precepts. He calls it the righteous rules. He calls it the testimonies. And he calls it the statutes. All those things are referring to the Word of God. The first truth that I want us to get from this passage of Scripture is this truth. Number one, God's Word as a lamp and a light can keep us on the right path. You may say that you're on the right path, but here's the thing. It's easy if we take away the lamp to get off of the right path. It's very easy. Jesus says, wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. If you think about this particular verse, many of us begin to think of lamps and lights in the way that we think of lamps and lights today. You know, when you go buy a flashlight today, you can look at one, how bright the lumens are, how much light it's going to give you, 1,000 lumens, 3,000 lumens, whatever it might be. We all like those flashlights that we can see. You know, several of us camp together and go out late at night and you go spot deer. You don't want a little bitty flashlight that just shines 6 feet. You want a light that's shining distance far away so you can catch those deer far off or the hogs or whatever it is that you're trying to see. We sometimes take our understanding of what lamps are and lights are in the 21st century and we project that back to this text, and it's really not fair to the understanding of the Scripture. If we really begin to understand the way that the psalmist talked about the lamp then, it really changes our perception of understanding this text completely. I want to show you a picture of an actual lamp that was discovered by an archaeologist. So you can get an idea of what this lamp is. Can we put it up on the screen, please? This is the lamp that he's referring to. Now, that lamp would have a wick that would be placed at the little spout portion that's there, and then it would be filled with olive oil. You're not going to be running around with that kind of lamp. That's a picture of it lit. Now, you imagine carrying that little lamp around. You're not shining 3,000 lumens. The author is saying the Word is like this lamp. It's a light to my feet, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. I want you to think about what's said here. God's Word is good for us to show us what we need right here. You with me? According to what most people would say about this lamp, this gives enough light for 18 inches. That's a step. And then God's Word is good for my next step. And for my next step. Now for type A people like me, that doesn't work very good in my thinking. Because some of us always want to know what's going to happen way down the road with God, don't we? Yeah. Hey, God, show me your plan for my entire life. And God's saying to this text, the Word is a lamp. 18 inches. We have to think about, we're looking at this particular passage of Scripture, is that we need to reprogram our minds when we're coming before God. We need to realize that God is wanting to just help us to slow down and trust Him in the now. Trust Him in what's right in front of us. Trust that God's going to show us right now. Why is it that God would want to show us 30 feet in front of us when we need to trust Him for the 18 inches that's right now in front of us? That doesn't mean that we can't plan. That doesn't mean that we don't project out in front of the future. But most of us need to realize Our worries oftentimes are what are miles in front of us. And God is telling us that we need the Word to be able to shape us and to help us and trust that He's going to give us the next 18 inches in front of us. So His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know what that also means? If you think about that, as I saw you look at that, that means that if someone had this lamp, it couldn't hold a whole lot of olive oil. Didn't have like this long list, this huge gallon tank of olive oil. They didn't carry a backpack on their backs of olive oil. They simply carried what was there to give them for the sufficient amount of the journey that was going to be in front of them. But also, as they carry that lamp, walking around maybe in their little commune or walking around in their neighborhood, whatever it might be, they had to walk slowly to be able to know that this right here was precious to be able to give them the next step. But how many of us actually would like to be able to run ahead of what God is telling us to do? Many of us are so quick to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then we just step out real quickly before He actually makes it very clear for us in the step that we need to take. Could it be that if we were to take this text to help us to understand that maybe actually what God needs all of us to do is actually to slow down a little bit? I believe that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 46:1, be still and know that I am God. We as a culture in our world that we live in, we are in such a fast-paced society that so many of us want to microwave our time with God. Beep, 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 beep. Okay, God, give it to you. Okay, let's go. Rather than taking our time and setting before a holy God to enjoy Him in His Word, to let Him reveal what we need to do, what's right in front of us. So this is my encouragement to you as you think about if God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Maybe for some of us this morning, we might need to rethink the way that we are trying to read the Word. Maybe we need to rethink our fast-paced culture that sometimes that we ourselves, I'm talking about just slowing down and reading the Word, I'm talking about slowing ourselves down to be able to have the time so that the Word can be lit for us, so that we can see what's in front of us. God's Word is faithful to be able, if we take this truth, it's faithful to, as He says, to be a light to my path. Let's just take that in that analogy. If a person is carrying that lamp around in their particular culture of their day, to see the paths, there would be little bitty paths that would veer off of the main course that was in front of them. Now, if you didn't have the light with you, you could very easily take the wrong veer off of what was supposed to be the right path. But the light was sufficient for them to simply know. And they would recognize, we've been down this path before, this is the right step I need to be on. But without the lamp in front of them, it was possible that they could actually take the wrong slant of the wrong veering off of the main road. The lamp was necessary. Now, I want you to think about that for our own lives. If God's Word is a lamp to my feet and light into my path, there are many possibilities that exist for us as Christians where we can veer off of what is right. And the only way that we're going to know what is right in front of us is if we keep the lamp lit. Many of us want to bank upon what we heard 2 weeks ago. Many of us think that we're good and we think that we know which way to go. But how many of us have thought we knew the way and ended up not in the right way? Let me illustrate this way. Many of us have these wonderful things called smartphones. Whether you have an Android or an iPhone system, there's a thing called a map on there that we're all, you know, we don't use paper maps anymore, right? I remember when I first came here, one of the first gifts someone gave me was this paper map of all of the St. Tammany Parish area. So that way I would know where to go. And that was for smartphones. So when someone came with their address, I was having to look up literally where the street was and try to find out where to go. Thank God for no paper map anymore. So now I just type in the address. Now, they're not always right, especially for the Lane's house that will send people to Slidell. But nevertheless, if you type in the address of where you're going to go, you put it in where you want to go, and you press directions, it's going to start speaking to you and telling you which way to go. Now, have you ever looked at one of those things and said, that's not right? And you thought you're going to take the right, the next thing. You're going to do what's right. And when you take off that veering of the past, the phone's going to talk to you. Right? Recalculating. Please make a U-turn. Recalculating. Because it's wanting to get you back up on the path of where you need to go. And so I can testify, I've been one of those people that thought I know the best route and have been at a spot where I'm like, guess what I got to do? I got to turn around. I got to go back. Or I go this way and I'm like, man, this is taking me longer. Oh, this is the reason why it didn't see me this way, because there's a dead end street right here. Or there's traffic over here. Or there's construction over here. Can I also testify to you that if we do with our own lives the way that we do with maps sometimes, if we are spirit, if we are in Christ, then we take that path, and what we have is the Spirit of God who's in us, and the Spirit of God is saying, recalculating, get back over here in the right path. So if you try to take the wrong journey and you're trying to be in the Word, God's Word is going to speak to us. This is what it means to be the Word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. God is going to direct us. We may not know all the construction zones that are in front of our lives down the road. But what we just have to trust is that God is going to take us there. And if we get to a construction zone in our life, then we're going to trust that His Word is still going to be enough for the next 18 inches to get me through whatever chaos may happen in my life. But what's necessary is for you and I to be able to trust that God's Word is going to be good for us. You say, how does that practically work out? Does that mean I'm actually holding up my Bible as I'm walking around? No. But if I'm spending time with the Word and I am reading the Word, then the reason how that God's Word can be a light for us is because God's Word is Spirit-inspired. And when every person places faith in Jesus Christ, He puts the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. This is God's voice. This is the recalculating work right here. So if I'm spending time with the Lord every day, with God, then the Spirit is placing the truths in my life. So if I'm as like that person who's holding that lamp and walking down a path outside of their home, and I see a path that veers off and I recognize I might have to hold the lamp down just a little bit so I can see more clearly that that's not the journey that I need to be on. If I'm in the Word on a daily basis, then the Spirit of God can speak to my life and speak to my heart and speak to my mind that when something appears to be right, but it's really not right, the Spirit can give me a check to say, this isn't good. Let me help you think about this. Do you think that Satan wants to make the wrong path look bad for you? He's not going to have a skull and crossbones over the wrong path. He's going to make it look enticing. He's going to make it look good so that you can actually take that wrong path, so that you can veer off the right path. Listen, folks. God's Word is alive. And it's Spirit-inspired. And when you are setting before the Word of God and you're allowing that lamp and that light to shine within you, He's going to help you to stay off those wrong paths. What are some of those wrong paths? Let's talk about the veering off the wrong path of apathy. Anybody ever been there before? The apathetic attitude that says, I'm good. I don't need the Word. I'm cruising along just fine. I really don't need a small group. I really don't need to be in worship each week. I'm really fine. Apathy. Because what happens is you maybe were on that path so well, and maybe you were in the Word on a consistent basis, but step by step and little by little, week after week, you get less and less away from the Word, less and less of holding that lamp that's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, and pretty soon the lamp that you're looking at is your own intellect, your own rationale, your own emotions. And you think that you're fine. You're taking the wrong path away from that. How about veering off the wrong path on sinful temptations that are placed in front of us? Listen, if you're not spending time in the Word of God and it's growing, the Spirit of God is growing in you, you're not as growing as strong to resist those temptations that are in front of us. It's harder to be able to discern between what is right and what is wrong. That you can veer off that path and be able to take the wrong journey. And then that path can take you farther than you ever wanted to go. What about the wrong attitude of relationships? Veering off the path in regards to relationships, to be able to reach the point where you're not in the Word, and to be able to justify and say, this relationship's probably okay, when we're beginning to think about ourselves, when God's Word is saying this particular relationship is not right. How about the veering off of tolerance? How is that a wrong path? Our society is being built off of a tolerance mentality. It's a very small, narrow path that leads off of what is true. Where the worldview that says this particular sinful behavior is okay. And when God's Word will say to certain sinful behaviors, these things are wrong, even though that it may make us uncomfortable. But yet God's Word says this is not true and this is not right. If we simply put away God's Word and we take that lamp and we put it to the side, then we can take the small path like along with the world, and we can begin to tolerate sinful behaviors. And because we'll do it all in the name of God, because God is loving. But yet the right path is God is also just. And God is holy. And God is right. For you see, God's Word is one that is good for us. It keeps us on the right path. It keeps us, our emotions in check. Our rationale to be able to make sure we're thinking correctly according to God's Word. You know what wrong path this particular author could have taken? Look at verse 107. Look at what he said that we read just a moment ago. Notice what he says is happening in his own life. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. What's happening to him? He's being afflicted. We don't know exactly what all his afflictions are, but we do know, if you look down in verse 110, we know one of his afflictions, the wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. We know at least that some people are coming against him, but let's just talk about affliction in general. Affliction of maybe that you've lost a job. The affliction of maybe your finances are not as good as they're supposed to be. The affliction, the fact that your relationships have fallen apart. Affliction of sickness. How can affliction put us on a wrong path? I'll tell you how it can happen, because it's words I've heard. People will say, well, if God was faithful, this wouldn't have happened to me. Take a veering off of the path. If God was here, then I wouldn't be sick. If God was here, He would still have me a job. If God was here, my marriage wouldn't be broken apart. If God was here, my children wouldn't be rebellious. Veering off of the path. But for you see, the Word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, because in affliction, the Word says to us, I won't leave you. I will always be with you. The lamp says to us, as Paul told Timothy, if you are in Christ, you will suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. The lamp says to us, Jesus says, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. For you see, the lamp is what holds us to the truth. It's what keeps us on the path when our heart wants to go this direction and our emotions want to take us to doubt and denial of the character of God. God's Word is a lamp for us, church, to keep us on the right path to trust the character of God, the faithfulness of God, the sovereignty of God, the steady hand of God, that God is a rock for us. So keep your nose in the book. Why? Because you know your heart is going to be deceptive. You know your emotions are going to lead you astray. You know you can't think rationally sometimes. So you need the lamp to be able to say, God, I need you. Be honest about your emotions. Be honest about your rationale. Say, God, I need the next 18 inches, please. God's Word will be faithful, church. It will be faithful to help you. I have no idea what all is going on in all of your lives. I know what some things are because we're church family and you share and we pray. But some things may be hidden in your heart that you're struggling with as you came in this morning. And my hope and prayer is that this would be a confirmation for you, an encouragement to you to know that you need the Word. to be your lamp and to be your light. So we see that he was afflicted. But you know what's good about God's word? It will help us to not only recognize the wrong paths, it will actually help us to hate the wrong paths. Look at Psalm 19, verse 104, just the verse above what we read. Through your precepts, or which are the truths of God's word, through your precepts, I get understanding. Notice this transition here. Therefore, I hate every false way. The psalmist is saying, look, through your word, I'm gaining understanding. And as a result of that, it's not that I just dislike those ways. I hate those ways. Make sure you understand what the psalmist is not saying. He's not saying that he hates people. He hates the ways that are leading him on the wrong path. How many of you have been delivered from a wrong path and you hate that path now? You hate that path of that wrong relationship. You hate that path from the alcoholism. You hate that path of drug addiction. You hate that path. You fill in the blank. You hate it. Why? Because God sets you free from that. And you say, God, your precepts have shown me. And I don't want that anymore. That's why when you see a brother or sister struggle on the path that you got delivered from, it frustrates you. Why? Because you know it led you to a point you didn't want to be on. You long for be able to God to give you the truth. How is it that God can give you a hatred for those things? For you see, some of us in this room, maybe some of you in this room, have not necessarily been on some of those paths. You say, well, I've not been delivered from those things. Can the word still cause me to hate those things? Yes. Why? Because if you are in Christ, Christ is in you and the Spirit's in you. You don't have to experience something and be set free from it to hate it. You know why? Because the Spirit works in us and He causes us to love what God loves. He causes us to hate what God hates. I don't hate the person who's going down the wrong path. I hate the path. And I hate the enemy of the path. But my word, God's word, helps me to see. You know why? You know why I hate the path? Because I know how good the right path is. So when you're on the right path and you're in the Word and God's Word is being a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, you're saying, I want to stay right here. I want to walk right here. But the enemy will say, oh, but this path, it's good. Do you know when that started? It started in the garden. Did God actually say, as the enemy said to Eve? For you see, God had made the path clear, and the enemy made the alternative path look appealing. Church family, my encouragement to you is this, that you and I have to be able to stay in the Word. So some of you this room, this morning, it might be time for you to relight the lamp. Some of you have maybe just been depending upon the lamp on Sunday mornings. Oh, please come and hear the lamp spoken to you. But we need the lamp on Monday. You need the lamp on Tuesday when you're at work. You need the lamp on Wednesday when things don't go your way. You need the lamp on Thursday. You need the lamp on Friday. You need the lamp on Saturday. Because what happens is when you're before the lamp every day, when you get together on Sunday morning, it's a culmination of being before the lamp. And then on Sunday, you're hungry for more lamp. Lord, put some olive oil in my lamp so it can burn bright for me this week. It causes you to want to get back in the Word. You see, what happens is the more that you're in before the lamp of God's Word makes you want to be in the lamp of God's Word more and more every day. So my encouragement to you, maybe God's speaking to your heart this morning and you recognize that you've been apathetic even towards the way that you've read the Word. Maybe this morning is to recognize you're missing what you could cherish before God. For some of you, you recognize this morning the Spirit of God is speaking to you, He's convicting you, and He's helping you realize you're down a path that you don't need to be on. And you're at that point, you're saying, how will I get back to the right path? Hold the lamp. And I hope you'll see. You'll look around you, And then you'll see, this is the way back. God will lead you. If God is faithful to get you from there. If you see what happens is Satan would want you to stay where you are. But here's the good news is God can forgive you if you've been on the wrong path. And He can restore you back to the joy of being on the right path. Don't wait to 2019 to get before the lamp. Get before the lamp and let Him lead you down the right path and get you back where you need to be. If you've been down the wrong road, then this morning what you need to do is simply say, God, I'm on the wrong path. Lead me, Lord. And He will lead you back to be where you need to be. For you know what is good? When you are on that right path and you're walking with the lamp and you're walking with the light, the good news is this, God's word as a lamp and a light will give you joy in your walk with the Lord. Look down at verse 111. What does He say? Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the, say it with me, joy of my heart. I want to ask you this question. If you've been reading the Word, answer it honestly. Is reading the Word laborious for you, meaning difficult for you, hard for you, or is it joyful for you? When you are sitting before the Lord and changing your mentality, if you're going before the Lord as something that you have to do, oh, change your mentality, please. Go before the Lord with the idea, say, God, I just want to meet with You. That you're sitting before God, and as you sit before God and you realize that He's helping you on this step, and then He sets you free on this step, and He gives you direction in this step, and then you realize this is good. And there's a supernatural work that happens as well, because if you're in Christ, the Spirit is in you. And then He is working with you. And what happens is the reason why it's joyful, the reason why the psalmist could say this is because when you're meeting before the Lord, hear this, you're not just reading words on a page, church. This is God breathed. This is God speaking to us. If you say, I want God to speak to me. Okay, it starts in Genesis and it goes to Revelation. He's already spoken. So let's see what He said. And then you get before Him, and then it just speaks to you. And what happens is the Spirit of God works supernaturally. And when you take the time to meet with Him and rest in the lamp of the light of the 18 inches, and you're sitting there and you're going slowly before God, and you slow down, and you take time to meet with Him, your heart is filled with joy because God reveals Himself to you. I've had numerous times. I'm not talking about emotionalism here. I'm talking about meeting with God. There's been numerous times where I'm reading the Word and the Word just jumps off the page to me. I'm just reading, I'm saying, man, that was good. And then I'm just sitting there and I'm saying, thank you, God, for showing me that truth. What's happening? It's in that moment. Because I'm not rushing through that. I can tell you when I slow down and I take this analogy and understand that the lamp is just for right here. And I sit and slow down before God and I'm willing to hear Him. He speaks. And there are times where I meet with the Lord in the mornings. And there are times that I will read and there are some times I'll say, okay, that was good. But there's other days. Oh yeah. Where the Word just comes alive and it speaks to you. And you thank God for those. And then what David or the author here says, it's the joy of my heart. See, there's something that happens supernaturally here. Joy can trump tragedy. Joy can trump affliction. Joy can trump your difficulty at the workplace, the difficulty in the relationship, the difficulty of the finances, the difficulty of the emotions. God's joy. What happens is the Spirit works in you. Why? Because do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love. Joy. church. This is Spirit-inspired. It's God-breathed. And when you sit before the lamp of God's Word, the Spirit who is working through the Word who is in me, He fills me with joy because He's showing me Himself. He's showing me my sin. He's showing me how to live for Him. He's rescuing me from my wrong path. And when I veer off, He's gracious to correct me and bring me back. And that gives me joy. How in the world can correction give you joy? It gives me joy because I'm saying, thank you, God, that you didn't let me stay on this path of what I was on. Thank you that you corrected me and you brought me back to your embrace of communion with you. That gives me joy. God's Word is good for us to be able to give us joy. But I want you to see the third truth about this lamp and light. God's Word can be a lamp and a light for us. But listen to me. We have to commit to read the lamp and read it. Look what he says in verse 106. Let's read 105 and 106 together. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to do what? To keep your righteous rules. All the truths that he's saying in this passage of Scripture, he is saying that these things are beneficial to him. How was he rescued out of affliction? Because he had made a commitment to the Word. How is he able to have joy? Because he made a commitment to the Word. How is he able to have the lamp and the light to his feet and a light to his path? Because he'd made a commitment to the Word. Listen, do you want the benefits of what we've talked about this morning? It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's going to happen because you sit before a holy God and you say, God, speak to my heart. So here's where it becomes practical. This is where I want it to be real for each one of you. We have to go beyond saying of just purposing our heart. We purpose our hearts and our minds to do lots of things that fail in the completing of those things because all we did was purpose our heart. What I mean by that is many times we'll say, I'm going to do that. We purpose our mind and our heart to say, I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to read the Word more. I'm going to pray more. And we purpose our minds and our hearts to do that, but we don't put the plan in action to do it. So here's what I want to see. David, or the author here, is saying, I've made a commitment to do this, but it's obvious. It's obvious that he actually did it. So I want to make some steps for you. Much like I did in praying, this is not going to be on the screen, but I want to make some steps for you to help you move beyond the purpose and the wish to be able to read the Word better and read the Word more in 2018. Listen, this is not a checkbox where you say, okay, I did it. Let me come brag to pastor that I did it. That's not what we're talking about here. I want you to be able to have the lamp in front of you. Husband, so you can have a lamp to be able to be a good husband. Father, so you can have the lamp to help you to be a good dad. Grandfathers and grandmothers, wives and spouses, so that you can have the lamp in front of you, so that you can have God to show you how to be the godly man, how to be the godly woman, how to be the godly grandparent, how to be the godly grandmother, how to be a godly servant. For you as students and you as kids, that the lamp can show you what are you going to do. Listen, if the only time you crack this thing open is on Sunday morning, you're missing some great opportunities for the lamp to direct your life. Step one, find a time and a place that's good for you. Now, y'all know I'm more a morning person. That's a time and its place good for me. So for me, it's to wake up early before the house gets busy. So I can be still before the Lord. But find a time and a place that's good for you. What I mean by that is this, for some of you, it may be that you need to get out of the house because maybe your house is like ants stirring around in the morning. So for some of you, it may be you get out of the house and you get to work a little bit earlier and you sit in the parking lot. And that's your meeting place with God. For some of you, it might be at lunchtime. For some of you, it might be as soon as you get home from work because nobody else is there, but it's quiet and it's time for you to be there. For some of you, it might be right before you go to bed. But let me give you something practical. I shared this with the men on Friday night. If it's time for you to spend time with the Lord and you're tired, stand up. If it's time to commit to pray and you're tired, walk around. I told the guys on Friday, there's nothing sacred about your eyes being closed while you're praying. I haven't found a verse yet that says, close your eyes and then say, Our Father which art in heaven. Find a time and a place that's good for you. And then do it. Number two, decide what you're going to read. What I mean by that is this. You say, this seems rudimentary. Well, rudimentary means where we need to get back to. What I mean by that is this. You need to develop a plan of what you're going to read so tomorrow morning you know where you're going, the next day you know where you're going, the next day after that you know where you're going. Because listen to me, if your intention says, okay, Byron, I got a time, I'm going to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to make my coffee, I'm going to sit with Jesus, and I'm going to read. What do I read? Bad plan. Not a good one. Haphazard reading is not going to get you the holistic, comprehensive contextualization of a scripture. You need a plan to be able to know methodically how to work through the Bible so that you can get the most. I mean, how many of you, if you got a letter from a family member, you would start on page 3? Are y'all awake today? We would start at the beginning of the first word and we'd work our way through it. Why? Because we want to understand the whole story. And for some of us, it may be that you're just kind of haphazardly. And I'm telling you, if you'll change your reading style, I promise you the Word's going to come alive to you. You start at the beginning of a book and you work your way through that book. You're going to begin to say, oh, in chapter 15, he said this. That's what he meant in chapter 1. Oh, it makes connections now. Find, determine what you're going to read and read those things. At the end of our service today, I'm actually going to show you a website that gives a list of multiple different types of reading plans where you can make a commitment to read through the Bible in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. But whatever it is, you work your way through the Bible. You're working your way to understand as much as you can. Why? Because the Word is a lamp. Number three, pray. That may sound simplistic, but I want to tell you what the reason you do this. Here's my order. I wake up in the morning, and I make my coffee, and I have my Bible and my spot. My family knows the end on the brown couch is my Jesus meeting spot. Even last night, Liz was sitting there and said, I need to meet with Jesus. So she had to scoot down so I could sit right there. Right? She made room to make that spot. And then I sit, and this is what I pray. God, I need you to speak to me today through the Spirit of God, through your Word. Why do I pray that? Because I know that Jesus said the Spirit is to be the helper to those who are His. I'm not depending upon Byron's education or Byron's wisdom or Byron's understanding. I need the Spirit to help me to see it. Because I can tell you, I've done that time where I've just kind of jumped in and read it, and the whole time I'm thinking, this isn't working good. Stop and pray. Number four. So number one is you're finding a time and a place. Number two is you're deciding what you read. Number three is praying. Number four, enjoy meeting with God. Don't rush the meeting. You ever been with someone and you're meeting with them and all they're doing is this? And they're talking like that quick glance that they don't think that you're seeing? I'm watching. God also knows when we want to meet with Him too. Just enjoy it. Now listen, I understand sometimes our days might be rushed. Maybe you got up a little later than you need to. But as a principle, enjoy meeting with the King. Enjoy meeting with the One who has changed you. And after you've read, number five, reflect. Reflect. What I mean by that? So for example, yesterday morning, I was reading Genesis 17, 18, 19, and 20 in my reading plan, and Matthew chapter 7. So as I'm reading through that, my reading through the Bible devotion is a little bit different than if I'm just studying a passage of Scripture and really digging in deep. I'm just reading through to see what God is saying to us. I understand the holistic picture of what happened in the Bible. And there's a certain truth that may stick out that I'm going to say, okay, I'm looking for a truth or a nugget that I can actually chew on and meditate on throughout the rest of the day. So for yesterday, for me, was Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. I was chewing on that in relationship to our week of prayer and the Word, reflecting upon that. So that's my challenge to you, is don't just kind of rush through it, but think and find a place. What is it God's speaking to me about today? What is it that I need to see? So family, do you want the lamp to help your next 18 inches? I asked the question at the beginning, I ask you now. How do you rate 2017? How's that going to be different in 2018? God wants us to be on His path to experience Him so that we can be able to stay on the right path so He can fill us with joy. Let me give you another step. This is not in reading. This is just a practical application. I would encourage you that if you're not connected to a small group on Sunday mornings, get connected to one. So that you can be able to learn the Bible together with other people. Because sometimes, some people see the path clearer than us. And we need to listen to what God has said. My challenge and my prayer to you for 2018 is you would take the lamp of God's Word, let it lead you on the right path. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful. Thank you that your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Those of us who are in Christ, we can look back at 2017. And there were times that you were gracious to us when maybe we veered off the wrong path. But yet the Spirit of God who was working in us was bringing us back. Father, we ask for your help today. Help us in 2018 not to just purpose our mind and purpose our hearts, but to truly pick a time, pick a place, determine what we're going to read, pray, see what you want to say to us, and reflect on those truths. Forgive us, Lord, for rushing our time with you. What a great picture it is to look at that lamp on the screen and to realize that you have such a great analogy for us. How much we are so guilty of wanting to know what's three steps ahead or a mile ahead, when you're faithful to provide for us for the next step. So God, I ask for my church family, for people who have been struggling with trusting you for the future, that you would help them to rest in the moment and to rest in the truth that you're a sovereign God and that you're going to help them to take the next step. God, I pray for those in this room and those who might be listening by streaming today who may have had the Spirit of God speak to their hearts to reveal to them that they are not on the right path. So God, I pray that you would bring them back through the Word of God to the right path again. God, if there are any this morning, though, who have never repented, who've never placed faith in you as Savior and King, then today, God, I pray that you would bring them through salvation and place them on the right path before you. Oh, Lord God, we lay our lives before you. Help us to be people of your Word. It is in your strong name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As we stand, let's sing the song as a commitment to our Lord. As you reflect upon where you are in your own reading and what God can do to you, through you, and for you. And Jared and I will be here as people you can pray for, pray with. If you need prayer, you come. But let's sing this song to our Lord this morning.